The holiday that's tomorrow is the reason that me and you get to do what we get to do, is those men and women who have given their lives for us, and let's don't forget it. It's a very important part of the reason. It's the reason we're able to do this, is our freedom. And I know we're all, at some point, we have somebody in our family has served. There's probably some of us in here that has lost loved ones in battle and being in armed forces and different things. So let's don't forget, especially us young ones. It's easy for even people my age to take this for granted, because we hadn't been any, I guess you would say, big wars since I've been alive. I remember the Gulf War, and of course the skirmishes we've had over there, and I know men have still died in those wars as they did World War II and in Vietnam. But some of y'all who lived through the Vietnam days and World War IIs and stuff like that, there was a Korean War, there was affected our communities greatly. I've heard older people talk about the prayers that went up during the Vietnam War for children who had left to go, and I can't imagine some of the horrors that was when they would get word that their loved one had passed over there fighting for our country. So I would like to ask us to truly remember those today. Do you have any other prayer requests before we get started this morning? Amen. Well, thank you for praying for my dad. His results come back good on his blood, so he's not as worried as they once was about what's going on. So I appreciate that and thank the Lord for that answered prayer. I ask you to remember the ones we have traveling. I'm not going to start naming them because we got half the church that's traveling somewhere this weekend. But remember those and pray for safe travels as they get home safely. Do we have any others? Any others? After we're going to have prayer after at this time, we're going to get Nate to come forth and present our nation's colors. Job. This time, if you have any family members or yourself that has served or have lost any family members that was serving, would you please stand? I know this Memorial Day is for the fallen soldiers, but if you have served in the military, you gave part of your life to this country. Do we have anyone that in here today that has served? Amen. Let's give them a hand. Do we have any here that has spouses that have served, that have passed on to be with the Lord? Anybody here that has spouses that have served? I know I had, me and Peggy was texting back and forth about this service, and she had mentioned that I think her dad had served and Rudy's dad had served. So let's remember those this morning and thank those. And at this time, we will go to the Lord in prayer. And again, I'd like to thank you for your service to our country, and thank for the ones that, you know, have gave part of their family to this country, and that I can stand and speak freely. I can stand and preach freely, not worrying about what anybody can do to me. And I think we live in the best country in the world. I don't think there's a better one out there. This time, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Father, we thank you especially for the Memorial Day today, of the time we've take to set aside to remember those that's fallen, serving our country, that we can be a free country, that we can serve you in freedom. And Father, we thank you for the ones who had a desire to serve our country, and Lord, knowing that they could be meaning giving their lives, they still had a desire to serve you. Lord, we ask that you be with our service this morning, that you be with us, and most of all, your Spirit be here. God, we know we can't do anything without you. God, we pray for those that are bound this morning, as we talked in Sunday school, by certain storms of life. And God, we pray that you let them see the need they have to come to you for help in that storm. And God, we ask that you would be with our singers this morning, give them the words to sing. And Father, just let us have a great day worshiping you, and let us just this weekend not forget what's been done for us, and the greatest example we have of one giving their life for us, you giving your Son, Jesus Christ, for each one of us, for lost sinners. Father, you was willing to give up your perfect Son, and we thank you for that today. We ask you to be with us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? His love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder?
Lay down your Yeah.
Puts the pressure on you sometimes. If you got your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah chapter number 1. I don't know what's so funny. Did I say something wrong? Nehemiah chapter number 1. As I was studying for this, as I was reading some commentaries, and the guy that wrote the commentary said this is a book about the shortest man in the Bible. I thought, well, we got something in common. But he said his name was Nehemiah. But I always thought it was Zacchaeus, but Nehemiah is, I don't know if he was short or not, but I know what he was. He was a man that saw a need. And the Lord laid this book on my heart. I don't know how many weeks we're going to be in this, but there's so much in this that I want to show us through, that God wants to show us, and I hope we can preach it in a way that's pleasing to him. But when you look at the book of Nehemiah, it's simply a man who saw a great need in his nation, but it's definitely a picture of our lives. It's a picture of every one of our spiritual lives, and I hope you can see this. As I can, if it works out the way it was in my head, it's going to be great. But very seldom does that. But This morning in Nehemiah chapter number 1, I'll give you just a little bit of background. Nehemiah and Ezra and several of these books work together as being the time when the children of Israel had returned from captivity. Now, the book of Esther goes in there with that, and I'll say this, I've learned some things of studying this week, that when Nehemiah goes to the king, and the king's wife is there, which is the queen, I did not know that this was Esther. This is Esther's husband that Nehemiah has to go to, so a lot of interesting things in this book, but what I hope you get to see today, and I had already announced the title of my sermon in Sunday school, because, man, God lined this thing right up from Sunday school up to right now, is you need to do what you can, and God will do what you can't. You do what you can, and God will do what you can't. So Nehemiah chapter number 1, some hard words, so y'all go along with me. It says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the months of Chilsu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest by thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet I will gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Father, we thank you today for this word. Father, we thank you for the scripture that we can preach, Father, and that, but most of all, we thank you for your spirit that will be in our midst. And Lord, I know that we're not many today, and we let that tend to hinder us, but Father, I pray that you show up. And that's the most important part, Lord. If you'll show up and speak to the hearts of your people, what we do here today will be successful in you. Father, we pray that you open hearts and open minds, and if there's one here that don't know you, God, I pray they will before they leave this place. Or, Lord, I pray that if there's ones here that their spiritual life has walls broken down, Father, I pray that you'll help them see the need to rebuild those. And, Father, I hope you'll help them see the need to be concerned about it. Lord, I ask you to go with us. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I want you to see about Nehemiah was he was concerned. He was concerned. I look around a lot of the world today. I'm around a lot of different people. I talk to a lot of different people, and I'm afraid we're living in a time where people just not are concerned anymore. They're not concerned. They're not concerned about lost people. They're not concerned about the shape of their nation. They're not concerned about the shape of their communities. But worst of all, they're not concerned about the shape of their souls. They're not concerned about even the ones that know Jesus and are saved by his marvelous grace. They're not concerned anymore with living how they should be living for Jesus Christ. And because of that, we bring in reproach against the whole name of the church. But listen here, Nehemiah became concerned. But have you realized how Nehemiah got concerned? He simply listened to a message. Now, it wasn't that the message was from a man who was a great speaker. It wasn't that the message was from a man who was something perfect or pretty or beautiful or any of this stuff. The message simply was true. The message was true that he said one of his brethren brought to him and told him, he says, hey, how's my people doing? And his brethren told him, said, they're not good. The walls are broken down. Now, I know me and you today, we don't like to get bad news. We don't like people to tell us that we have a problem in our lives. We're in a place in our nation where you can't tell anybody the truth or you've offended them. You can't tell anybody the way that it is, or they'll go home. They won't have any more of it. But listen, church, I'm here to tell you today that some of us in this building have some problems. We have some trouble. We have something. And listen, you're not going to get help for your problems until you become concerned about your problems. Nehemiah heard the word. Nehemiah realized it was the truth. And that's what me and you must do today. I've heard probably 10,000 messages preached in my life, but you know what? I would leave here with good intentions. I would go home and I'd go to sleep. My good intentions would pass. But Nehemiah was a man who was truly, truly concerned. How do I know he's concerned? Listen to what he did. It said, he came to pass when I heard the words, I sat down and wept. Listen, church member or Christian, when's the last time that you saw the conditions of your life, you become concerned about it, and you actually wept? When's the last time you wept over your spiritual condition? Now listen, y'all may be more self-righteous than I am, but there's times I just simply get out of the will of God. There's times I simply get away from what God would have me to do. There's times I'm not what God has called me to be. I hate to admit that today, but it's just the truth. There's times I fall short. There's times that somebody has to come, and it comes in the most simplest ways. I'll have people come say something, and it'll set something off in me, and I'll begin to look at my life, and I'll have to say, you know what? I have messed up. I've come short, and I hope today that that's what you get out of this message. I hope you don't get mad at me. I hope you don't leave, because this morning we don't have many to spare, but listen, I hope you earnestly become concerned about your spiritual life. I think we come in here too many times on a Sunday and we simply go through the motions. I think we come in here because there's addition to come to church. We're no more concerned about the shape of our souls than we are anything. We're worried most of all of beating everybody to Velarda so we can get our favorite seat. And then we worried about getting so we can go swimming and then we can eat ice cream. And I love those things. I'm looking forward to it. But today, I wish we'd come concerned with our own souls. I wish we'd come concerned with the shape of our community. I wish we'd come concerned with the shape of our nation. And I just simply wish that men would be concerned about anything. We live in a time that just does not happen. Listen to Nehemiah. He said he sat down and he wept. Have you ever cried? Have you ever wept over your spiritual situation? There ever been a time that you simply looked at your life and you said, you know what? Something is wrong and it bothered you enough that you wept. You may have, but I bet you something else. I bet you there have been some times that you have lost a relationship and boy, you cried about it. Or there's times that you have lost a job and you wept about it. Or times that you lost some money here and you wept about it. Or you lost this and you wept about it. But let me tell you something. The most important thing that we need to take control of today is our spiritual lives. You know why? Because it's forever. This other stuff is temporary. It's going to pass away. It's going to burn up. It's going to be done. So I wish today that we'd get concerned enough to sit down and weep. He said he sat down and wept and he mourned certain days. Now listen, if I do get a little upset about my spiritual condition, I may think about it that day. I may pray about it that day. But how long does it truly affect me? It affected Nehemiah for days. He sat down and he wept in his condition for days because of the shape that his nation was in. Listen, people, our nation is in a great turmoil today. Not just our nation. You know why our nation is in great turmoil? Because the church is in great turmoil. If you want to see a nation come to the Lord, his church has first got to get back to him. We got to get back to him, church. It's time that we realize something. We have problems. We need to get better. We need to be concerned over them. And it may even help to weep a little bit. And he said he mourned certain days and fasted. Boy, don't hear this happening no more. But you begin searching your scriptures, and I'm the guilty of the guilty about this now. But you begin searching the scripture, and you see where a man truly had a desire for things to change in his life. And I promise you something, he fasted. He took time out of his day, he set something aside he had been doing, and he put God there. He put God as the most important part of his day, and he replaced it with something that wasn't any good. He had been doing this, watching, maybe it was in our day, TV. Maybe he fasted from TV. Maybe he did fast from food or whatever it is. And it's not good enough just to go tell your neighbors that you're fasting. You must spend that time alone in solidarity with the Lord, getting honest with him and confessing your sins, and then you'll see a difference. So he mourned, he fasted, he was concerned. And he said, then he prayed before the God of heaven. And I read you that Nehemiah's great prayer. Did you realize what he'd done when he began to do this? First thing he'd done was confessed. Listen, Christian, if you have something in your life that don't belong there, it's time to get concerned and it's time to do something about it. And Nehemiah confessed. He said, God, I have sinned. I've sinned, God, I'm guilty. Not only have I sinned, my fathers have sinned. And listen, church, we can stand up right now today and be tell the truth, and I can say, God, I have sinned. I have come short of what you called me to be. You see, sin, you look up the meaning of it, is simply missing the mark. I don't know of one of us in here today that has not missed the mark that God has put on our lives last week. We have sinned. Not only have I sinned, Father, the house of my house has sinned. They've come short of you, God. I ask forgiveness for them, and it's time to do better. The problem we have today is men don't get concerned. They're not concerned for their own house. They're not concerned about their own people. And we go through life and we just play this thing called church. And we wonder why, is God. You hear people all the time say, it's been years since we saw people saved in our church. You hear people say, it's been years since I saw a lost sinner walk down the aisle and give his heart to Jesus Christ. You hear people say, it's been years since I saw people flock to a revival and have a desire to be with God. You know why that is? Because we ain't concerned anymore. We don't have a reverent fear of God. We don't think we have a problem because we don't have any problems anymore. We know how to fix them all. You realize the number one selling of books in our nation, anybody know what it is? Self-help. $10 billion. Listen now, $10 billion a year off of self-help books is made in our nation. About one self-help book that was written many years ago. It'll help you right here. It'll help yourself is what it'll do. It may not tell you what you want to hear. It may not let you fix it the way you want to fix it. But bless God, it'll fix your problems. It'll help you and it'll straighten you out. But people don't want to hear it anymore. They don't want to hear that sin is sin. They will say it's 2017. I don't have to worry about that. Times has changed and everything is better. Let me tell you something. The truth of God remains forever. Brother, if it was a sin for Adam and Eve, it's a sin for you. If it was a sin for anybody in Scripture, it's a sin for you. You are no better. We all should be concerned about our sins. And it's time as a church that we got back right with God. Amen. I'll amen myself right there. Listen. He sat down. He mourned. And he prayed before God. And he confessed his sins. And he cried out. And he said, God, be attentive. God, hear me. Hear me, please, Lord, when I stand in need of your help. Yes, Nehemiah was crying out for a nation. But listen, be true with yourself. Sit down and get concerned about your sin. Get concerned about this thing. Then cry out to God and beg him for help. So Nehemiah became concerned. Let me show you in chapter 2, verse 11 through 16. Nehemiah contemplated. He contemplated. I had to Google this word. I'm not that smart. He contemplated. You know what? He looked thoroughly for a long time. He looked thoroughly for a long time. You see, Nehemiah, he had a desire that God had put in his heart after he heard the condition that he was in. And he knew he had to do something. So he went to the king and he begged the king to give him break from his job because Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. If you don't know what that was, Nehemiah tasted of everything before the king got it in his mouth. Because the king wanted to be sure that he wasn't poisoned. Says Nehemiah went to the king. He says, King, God has put it in my heart to do this thing. And the one thing we need to understand is what I said at first. The king's wife was Queen Esther. I never realized that until I began studying this, but she was sitting there. The Bible says the king's wife was sitting there. Why was that important? Because God used her to save this Jewish nation. God used her to bring these people back to him. So Esther played a very important part. But Nehemiah came to him. He said, King, I need leave. And he had prayed to God that the king would not kill him when he said this. And the king said, okay, Nehemiah, you can have off how much time you need. And then old Nehemiah become a little bit bold. He said, all right, king, if I can have off, will you give me a letter so they'll give me some timber down there to help with? Brandon mentioned this a little yesterday. I was thinking about this, about some of the things we talked about yesterday. But listen, he came and he said, King, will you give me a letter that they may help me? And the boy, the boldness that God had put in him. So not only he concerned, but he come to this city and he started contemplating what was going on. The scripture says in chapter 2, verse 11 through 16. And I wrote that down wrong, but I'm sorry. I'll fix it. Listen, he came there. He said, I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what God had heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night in the gate of the valley, and before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. and knew not whether I went or what I did. Neither had I yet told it to the Jews, neither to the priests, neither to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Nehemiah went to the place of where the problem was. He went and he sat, he went in dark. Do you realize that? He went under the cover of night and began to look in at what's the problem. What does this mean to my life and to your life? There's times we need to get away by ourselves and simply look at what the... If I say something today that pricks your heart and lets you know there's a problem, you need to take some time to go out and contemplate what is wrong with your life. You need to thoroughly look at your life and see what may be wrong. Hey, Nehemiah had heard that it was wrong, but Nehemiah wanted to go see for himself that truly the walls was falling down. I promise you today that me and you have many walls that have fallen down, but you're not going to become concerned until you take time to contemplate what is wrong. How many of you right now would be honest with me that you would take some time next week and examine your life and see where you stand before God? If you'll do this, I promise you something. God is going to show you some walls that need repaired. He's going to show you some things that are wrong. Nehemiah went. He looked thoroughly for a long time. I don't believe Nehemiah just walked up on his old beast there and said, hey, there's a problem that needs fixing. Here's wrong. I believe Nehemiah went up there, and I believe he inspected that wall. I believe he looked at it completely and said, this is what needs to be done. I've got to have this or that thing. It don't be some cure. Listen, church member, it's time that we get our lives and we spend time with God. We get alone time and we thoroughly look at what's going on in our spiritual lives. If there's anything that don't need to be there, you know what you got to do? You got to figure out how to repair that thing and get it out of there. The problem we have is we're here trying to worship and serve God with all this other stuff in our lives. Our walls are broken down. We're not close to Him. We're not living according to He is. And then we wonder, why in the world is He not blessing our church? Why is this not happening? Is that not happening? I'm coming to church every day. Listen, we must be right before God is going to use us. He came. He looked at them all around. It said He went to several places. Several distances of the wall he saw was broken down. And he began inspecting it. I wonder today if we're concerned enough that once somebody tells us we have a problem, once we hear a message and we realize there's a problem in my life, are we concerned enough to take some time and go break that thing down and look at it and see where the problem might be? You see, you can't fix a problem until you find it. You go, I don't care what you're working on. If you're working on a swimming pool, you're working on this church building, whatever it is, bless God, if the roof is leaking, you know when you're going to be able to fix it? When you find where it's leaking. You know where you're going to be able to fix your life at? When you find where the problem is. You know how you're going to determine that? By taking time and going out and surveying our lives and saying, where is my problem? Now, I want to warn you about something. Don't do this unless you're ready to repair it. Don't do this unless you truly want to fix it. Because, brother, you're going to have an ego if you do this. You're going to have a self-esteem problem. You're going to find out that you're not too spiritual that you thought you was. You're going to find out you're failing in many ways. But bless God, that's what we must do if we're to get back right with God. And our churches so need to get this. It's revival time. It's the time of year we set aside. We just made it through spring. We're fastly headed to summer. Every church in our community will be having a revival in August nearly. We'll be going through revivals. We'll be going sitting in revival meetings, and we set this time aside. And the sad thing is that we prepare everything in this but our lives. Never prepare our spiritual lives. The same way we do on a Sunday morning. Even on casual day, we get up and we go to the mirror, and those women go to the mirror and they begin fixing themselves up with makeup. And us men, we get up, we throw on a pair of pants and a shirt. We go to the mirror and we run our fingers through our hair and say, hey, we look good. We look way more confident than the women do. We think we're the prettiest thing there's ever been. Amen. We head out the door. We come to church. We walk in the church doors. We mad as fire out there in the car. Our kids have been fussing. The wife and the husband is fussing. We get out. We get to that front door. And all of a sudden, a miracle takes place. We don't have a problem in the world. A big old smile comes on. Man, I'm just happy to be here, and I'm godly. I'm close to the Lord. We're not prepared to come into the house. The reason we're not is because we hadn't surveyed our situation. We hadn't saw we had problems. And until we realize there's a problem, y'all, I'm going to say it over and over, until you realize there's a problem, it will not be fixed. It can't happen. Yesterday, we was cooking. We had a grill. We couldn't get hot. We kept filling with that thing. We'd turn every, had more gadgets than you ever have on one. But we turned things and guess what? We wouldn't have any. And all of a sudden, we kept turning things, and by the end of the day, that thing was hot as a firecracker. It would cook anything you wanted to cook. But you know what we had to do? We had to figure out what the problem was. We had to find where it was. If we had to come in here in the fellowship hall and set down the air conditioner and said, "Oh, Lord, I hope it gets hot," guess what? The thing would never got hot. We had to do what we had to do. We had to figure out the problem. Are you willing? Are you concerned enough that when you hear that you'll weep over it? That you'll be concerned enough that you'll take time to look at it and say, "Do I really have a spiritual problem?" How can you say I have a spiritual problem, preacher? You don't know my life. No, I don't, but I know mine. And I know that you're not any better than I am, and I'm not any better than you are. I know we all have sin that we need to get out of our lives and get back to what God has called us to be. He's concerned. He contemplated. But I want to tell you, this last one, boy, I could preach on this one for 200 years. They become committed. Nehemiah was committed. You talk to every pastor from here to Kalamazoo. I think that's in Michigan. Or you, wherever you wanted to go to. You talk to every pastor, every youth pastor, every deacon, every church leader. There is, you know, the number one thing they'll tell you that is missing inside their churches today is commitment. We're commitment. We may be concerned. It's possible to get concerned. You'll get some concern out of us Baptist people. You will. You'll get some people that will weep over the sin. You'll get some people who will be tore up over their sins. And listen, you may get some people who will take time and look at their lives and say, "I need to do this. I need to do that. I realize where the problem's at. I see what needs fixing." But brother, what you have problem with today is commitment. Nehemiah, through the hand of God, got these people committed. Listen to what happened in 17 and 18. He says, "And then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was upon me, and also the king's words that he has spoken to me. And they said, let us rise. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Man, they got ready to do something. They got committed. Can you imagine having enough people today committed to build a complete wall around Jerusalem, which wouldn't be like Atlanta, but it was still getting that many people committed to come together and to begin to build? That's what is missing inside our churches today. Most churches you walk inside of, even if there's 150, if you really dissect that thing and you really get down to the nitty-gritty of it, you'll find about 5 to 10 people at the most doing everything that is done inside the church building. And I never understand that. You know what else you'll find? Is you'll have 5 or 10 doing all the work, and bless God, you'll have 90 doing all the fussing. I say this a lot, and it may get me kicked out a lot of times through life. But everybody wants a great church, but nobody wants to put forth the effort. We all want a great place to go. We want a great place for our kids. Man, we want the best of this. We want the best of that. But listen, I want somebody else to do it. That's just a natural human in us is to want that. But until we get concerned enough, till we look at it and see there's a problem, and then we become committed to fix the problem, we're not going to see any difference in our church. We're not going to see any difference in our community. We're not going to see any difference in a lost world, because we're just happy with having. Y'all said, y'all heard this 100 times. I'm going to tell you anyway. You know what the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Churches have done it for hundreds of years. The same thing over and over. I believe we should have order. I believe that. I'm not against an order of service. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against that. But you get up on Sunday morning, you be honest with me, that message, you know exactly what's going to go on here when you get here. You know exactly. We've got this thing planned down. I'm afraid sometimes that we become as so concerned with order that we have planned God right out of our meeting. Bless God, if he wants to show up and scare us to death, we wouldn't know what to do. If we had to do this at that time and that at that time, it would just take us by surprise. Let me tell you something, church. When a church becomes committed, the first thing he does is let God have control of it. Amen. Nehemiah came to God and he said, "God, we got a problem. I'm concerned about the problem. God, I have looked at it. We've got walls broke down over here. We've got gates broke down over here. We got the enemy is coming through these things, destroying us. We can't keep him out. God, we got a problem." God put it on Nehemiah's heart to go tell the people that there was a problem. But I want to tell you something. Not me or Billy Graham or any other pastor in this world can make you be committed. You know the only way you'll be committed? When you get your heart right with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you see there's concern, you look at it thoroughly, and you become committed because He has talked to you. He has spoke to you. Kyle Idleman. Any of y'all ever read a book? Kyle Idleman wrote a book, Aha. And that's the name of it, Aha. He says it's the moment that it struck him. Life was all about. He calls it an aha moment. You ever been thinking about something or reading instruction, you couldn't get it in your head? All of a sudden, the picture of it just popped up in your brain? Aha, I see. That's a moment. Y'all teenagers don't have them. But listen, you get old, you start having them. You become committed. I said earlier, it's a miracle how people to build a whole wall. Bless God, in our time, you can't come committed enough to hardly do anything in a church today. How do they come committed? Because of prayer. Nehemiah prayed, and he allowed God to do what he couldn't do. Man. Nehemiah could go look at the problem. Nehemiah was concerned about the problem. But Nehemiah could not make the king let him go. Nehemiah could not get the people ready to work. I couldn't even provide for have the material for the walls. But bless God, Nehemiah did what he could do, and then God began to work. Let me tell you something, church, and I promise you this, according to the Word of God. I can come up with every plan I can think of how to grow this church. But you know what? I can't do it. You know what has to happen is when I get to the place where I should be, I realize that I'm concerned, I see I've got a problem, and then I come committed to fixing a problem, and I turn it over to God, and then God begins doing what He can do. He begins drawing. He begins pricking hearts. God committed these people to build this wall. They came together. Now listen, immediately, what's going to happen? You've heard this. I said you need to be concerned. I said you need to contemplate it. You need to thoroughly look at it and see where your problem lies. You need to be committed to fix it. But I'm going to also promise you something. That you become committed to God to fix what is wrong in your life, you're going to have a Sanballat that comes in your life named Satan. Read the next verse down where I just was. You're going to have him come. And immediately he's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to discourage you. Listen to what this says. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this? What's this thing that you do?" Listen, immediately when you have heard me preach this, you've heard me talk about it about 30 minutes now, you've heard me try to get it to you the best I can, and maybe God has pricked your heart, and you said, "I know what needs fixing, I know what I've got to do, I got to be committed, I've got to get this thing fixed in my life," but immediately, if you'll be honest with me, Satan began to say, "What you going to do? You may change it today, you'll be back the same place tomorrow. You may not tomorrow, you will. You may not partake of that today, but hey, Monday will come. You will, or next weekend you'll be back in your same old ways. What are you going to do?" I promise you something, and I don't want to discourage you, but the moment we get committed, church, the enemy's going to come. You look, Sanballat, the Horonite, all these ites, you know what they was? Enemies of God. There was enemies of God. You know what Jerusalem represents? The city of God, the place of our life. There's walls that is broken down. Are you concerned today? Are you concerned at all about the walls in your spiritual life that are broken down, that are surrounding that city of God right deep in your soul? If you're concerned, will you take time this week or right now to contemplate it, look at it? You see, Nehemiah had to go all the way around that wall to look and see what needed to be fixed. He needed to know where the trouble was so he could put this group here. In this group here, he had to find out where the trouble was. Then will you be committed? Will you commit yourself? You see, much more than just you being right with God stands in the balance here. The salvation depends on if me and you will be concerned, and we'll look at it, and we'll be committed to fixing it. And I promise you something. If you're committed, God will work. If you're committed to it, and you want it repaired, God will repair it. He'll bind it up. He'll heal the broken. There's not any sin you've committed today that can't be forgiven. Only sin is rejection of Jesus Christ. that cannot be forgiven. Today, I beg you, it's time we get concerned. It's time we look at it. It's time we get committed and let God do what he can do. They built those walls 50-something days, I think it was. We're going the next couple of weeks, probably. I don't know, unless the Lord changes my mind. We're going to go each through each one of them gates. Those gates are very important. You look at the gates in Nehemiah, you can study on each one of them for weeks. Of the spiritual life is what they are. They're gates. Man, if it's a holiday, we could just preach it right now and stay till tonight, but we won't. But listen, it's my prayer today that you'll realize there's some things broken down. There's some walls broken. There's some trouble. I think the main thing that holds us back is the past. We can't get over where our problem was. We see the problem. We can't figure out how to get over it. Guys, pull up. I know I hadn't went in order. Pull up Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. When you walked in this building this morning, that's already in the past. That's in the past. You can't change what you've gotten yourself into. Nehemiah couldn't change the point that the Jerusalem had been burned. He couldn't change the point the walls had been broken down. He couldn't even change the point that he had been guilty of whatever sin was in his life because he confessed that he had sinned. He couldn't do anything about what had happened. Just as Paul couldn't right here. But he said, this one thing that I can do is the future. I can't do anything about what just things which are forth. He says, reaching forth in the things which are before, that I can make a difference. That I can make a difference. We was talking this morning in our Sunday school class. There's millions and millions of people in our country that are chained down by an addiction. There are people in our community, maybe people in our churches, maybe even in this church that are bound by some kind of addiction. Something has got them chained down. I don't know what to do. Preacher, I can't become concerned. I can't look at it. I can't be committed because this is keeping me down. This has got a hold on me and I can't get rid of it. Listen, until you realize something, that God can do what you can't, you will never be out of those chains. God can break it. God can break it. As we stand today, as we come to the verse of song, I'll show you what Nehemiah was facing. And I promise you it's the same thing you're facing in your lives today. If you are honest, you can be self-righteous all you want to and you ain't fooling nobody but yourself. God knows your heart. You have walls that are crumbled. Spiritual walls of your heart are falling off all. They're on the ground. They're broken to pieces. You broke it. What are you going to do about it? Nehemiah could have been unconcerned. Jerusalem would have never been anything but a reproach to all the enemies. They could have come in anytime they wanted to. They didn't have great military jets and all that we have today. They could have reached in there. They could come in there at any point without a wall being built up. You see, that's what's happened to us today. Our walls is broken down. We have nothing to keep the enemy out. Our spiritual lives is just in shambles. Are you concerned enough to weep over it? Are you concerned enough to take a look at it? Are you concerned enough to be committed? You see, much more stands in the balance. Nehemiah would have died, and Jerusalem would have still been in waste. He wouldn't have been held to nothing. Wouldn't Nehemiah be the king? Church, we need to be concerned today. As we sing, will you be honest? Will you be honest with yourself today and be willing to build those walls that have fallen?